into that prayer, church. Go ahead and be used of God in the house tonight. Take somebody on your heart and be an intercessor tonight. Hey, mighty God, worthy God. Somebody be used of God right now. Let that Holy Ghost flow right now. Hallelujah. Make it cloud up and rain in the house of God tonight. You mighty God, we lift you up, oh God, we magnify you, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Well, how wonderful it is to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday night, and we're scattered all over the place. We're in homes and families all over the metro area, and we're in the house of God, and we are rivers of living water, and we are well springs. And every time we get together, and every time we can begin to pray and to worship and to seek the face of God, the Spirit of God flows forth, and the kingdom of God comes forth. And so you need to always think about that. It's always flowing forth in your life, and that's the will of God. And you're the light of the world, and you're refreshing waters in a world that's dying of thirst. So be used of God, not only here in this house, but in your house. And as you're on your way to work, and as you're on the job, let that Holy Ghost flow, because people all over this city need God. And you never know what door you're going to open up as you're letting the Spirit of God flow. Praise God. Once more, would you just lift up your voice, lift up your prayer, let the Holy Ghost flow forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Almighty God, worthy God, holy God. Praise God. So it's great to be in the Lord's house tonight. Brooke, can you run those pictures again of Amber and her babies getting baptized yesterday or day before? That's just worth shouting about again. That's worth worshiping God for again. She's really excited for the first time in this COVID season. They've been locked down there, and they finally were able to bring their pastor from the local church in. He brought his little baptistry, and they baptized six in that orphanage yesterday or day before. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's so encouraging for Amber. You want to continue to pray for her and lift her up, and you want to continue to support her. And she's doing a great work there. And all, those are the ones that got baptized. And the tall kid is the 12-year-old. And the one in the middle there in the blue shirt is a staff member's child. So they're reaching. They've got their orphans there, but they've also begun to penetrate their staff. And that's just a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we want to worship God and magnify God with Sister Amber tonight. Praise God. And everybody say, praise the Lord. So what a great day to be alive in the kingdom. Are you glad about what God's doing in you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're tired of COVID, and we're sick of the new things that the weird season is imposing on us, but we are convinced that God is a God of every season, and that God controls everything that's going forth, and that in the middle of it all, God is bringing forth revival. Can you say praise the Lord? Right now, God's preparing the ground. Right now, God is preparing hearts. Right now, God is drawing souls in this city. Right now, I'm just telling you, before my group ever walked in the house of God, before we ever met the church, God was already stirring our hearts and God was already getting us ready. Before we ever called the preacher or had a Bible study, we were already studying the Word of God in and around our homes, and we were already excited about the things of God. And all the evangelist did is he just threw a match on what God had already started. And so they're in this city right now, and God is drawing them, and God is moving on them. So you be in prayer for them, and pray God draw them, and continue to bring forth the seed and the fruit of his seed. And we're going to see what God will do. We're going to read tonight in 1 Samuel, and we're continuing in the story of Hannah. And this morning, we're talking about Hannah and the fact that she followed through, and what an exceptional thing that is, and apparently a relatively rare thing that people actually follow through on their commitments to God. God never fails, and God always follows through, and God is always true to his promises. But we see the sad litany of failure in Israel's history because they would remember God for a season and then they would forget. And the next generation might or might not remember God. And that seems to be the classic, continual story of Israel. And then if you've lived for God very long in the apostolic era or in the church age, you understand that these are dynamics that are yet in place. And that many come, but very few are standing year after year in the house of God. Very few remember to bring what God has blessed them with back to the altar and give it to God all over again. And so we're interested in Hannah tonight, and I'm interested in anybody. And if you see somebody that's living for God at a high level, and they're there in the durative sense, and they've sustained their experience, and they still have their joy, and they still have the zeal of God, and they're still being productive in the kingdom of God. And it's a joy to find somebody like that. It really is. And sadly, they're not that common. And so when you find somebody like that, you want to study them. You ought to be a student of revival. And you ought to be a student of what makes this person stick in the house of God, and what makes them continually, year after year, productive and effective and faithful. Well, that's who Hannah is. And the chapter that we're going to look at tonight in chapter 2 is interesting. It's a lot like Mary's song that she lifts up to God after the Christ child is born. The children of Israel as they come across the Red Sea, and the next morning Miriam picks up her timbrel and they begin to sing a song. They begin to worship God for what he did there at the Red Sea. And this second chapter, if you would, is like Hannah's song. And it's worth inspecting, and it's worth taking a look at. If you're asking the question, how did she do that? How did she separate herself from all those who had come before and those who would follow that would not persist in their experience in God? How did she continue in the ways of the kingdom? And I think it has a lot to do with what is revealed in her song. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord, and my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, and there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread. They that were hungry seized, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. If you love his word tonight as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks and magnify him. If you're in your house right now, give God praise for his word and give God glory for the goodness of God and the privilege of handling his word tonight. We thank you, mighty God. We praise you and we magnify you. And somebody say, praise the Lord. And everybody said, praise the Lord. And there's only a handful of us, so you got to make up for those that are not here. And all those that are at home said, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. I appreciate our praise group and our musicians, how excellently they lead us in worship. And I appreciate the work they put in. I appreciate our media team and the wonderful work they do in leading us and helping us and helping us to be effective in our services. And what a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. So we studied Hannah's prayer in chapter 1, and we studied Hannah's vow and the product and what God did and the prophecy that came forth and then the child that was born. But she didn't stop there, but she followed through and she continued and she would go back to the temple and make good on her vow. And then she didn't stop. She went back every year and brought a little coat for that boy because she knew the thing that she had put in God's hand and the thing that God had given her was going to grow. And that's the nature of the kingdom of God. There is no end to the increase of his government and his peace. And so you need to expect what God has done to grow and what God is doing to grow and in you. And the thing that he answers in terms of your prayer and your gifting and the anointing of God in your life, you need to look for that to grow. You need to bring that back to the house of God and lay it on an altar and tell him again and again, God, you gave me this. I'm giving it back to you. You grow it, you build it, and you help me to be effective in it. Somebody say amen. Praise God. So Hannah is very, very effective, and Israel as a whole is not. And Hannah remembers. And we look for maybe a reason why. And then in chapter 2, we find her song. And her song is a prayer. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. And you don't have to look very far at all to see that Israel as a whole, after they passed through the Red Sea and after they made their way into the wilderness and the journey before them on the way to promise, they forgot their praise and they forgot their song and they began to be murmurers and complainers. And I want you to turn to somebody near you or shout across the building at someone or maybe tell someone at your kitchen table tonight, don't be a murmurer. Don't be a complainer, because God has given you something to sing about. God's given you something to praise. God's given you something to joy in. God's given you something to glory in. And you've got to remember that. She prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. And her prayer life is rejoicing. And she said, I prayed and God answered and I rejoiced. And somebody that wanders in here this morning or tonight, they don't understand us very well. But we can tell them, I called called upon the Lord, and God heard my cry, and he lifted me up out of a deep pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, and he established my goings, and he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. And everybody that gets the Holy Ghost, the song comes as a part of that experience. It's standard equipment, and you need a song in your life if you're going to make it through the valley, and you need a song in your life if you're going to make it up the backside of the mountain, and you need a song in your life if you're going to go down to the graveyard and survive, and you need a song in your life if you're going to live through what life is going to offer up to you. Somebody sing your song right now. Open your mouth and begin to praise and magnify God. Don't forget your song. Lift it up. My soul rejoices in God. Remembers her song, and her song is a prayer. God is the reason, and so repetitive prayer is a reminder, and it inscribes the fact of the kingdom of God and the word of God in your psyche and down in your soul, and gets down in the core of you and down deep in your spirit. And it's so very important, because we asked the question this morning, how do people forget God and why do people forget God? And I can't tell you all the reasons, but I can tell you it's endemic among humanity. But you've got to know there's a way to keep yourself reminded of the things of God, and you've got to do that. Your neighbor's not going to do that, and the preacher's not going to do that effectively, and your Sunday school teacher won't get that done. Your husband or your wife can't make that happen, but your voice is the most important voice that you're going to hear in your lifetime. But you say, well, no, it's the voice of God. Friend, if you don't agree with the voice of God has spoken to all of those that are in hell tonight. Your voice has to repeat what God has said. Now tell me, what has God said unto you? What has God promised you? You need to remind yourself of that. You need to talk about that. And you need to get yourself a song. And you need to sing it tonight. There needs to be a song on your lips and a song in your heart. And you need to remember the things of God. It'll keep you alive in the kingdom. It'll keep you alive in the valley. And it'll make you strong in a time when all of life is trying to suck the strength out of you. A repetitive prayer, a song of the kingdom and the values of the kingdom gets down into your soul. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There's something about a song. And Hannah had a song. She said, my horn, or my strength, if you would, my anointing is exalted in the Lord, and my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Everybody say, because I rejoice. Say, because I rejoice. I'm exalted in the Lord because I rejoice. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. That doesn't mean you have a bigger mouth than your enemy. It just means that you have greater strength, and your word means more than the word of your enemy. And what you're saying has greater strength than what your enemy is saying. Come on. The enemy's been talking to you. You need to talk back. The enemy's been saying his peace. You need to say your peace. The enemy's been representing hell. You need to represent heaven. The enemy's been telling you what the devil has to say. You need to tell him what God has to say. Somebody say, praise. She said, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And we, part of the Bible study, when we do the study on praise, we inevitably go to the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and we talk about Jehoshaphat's choir and the fact that enemies had arisen that were bigger than Jehoshaphat, and he's so wise, and he's so right in his spirit, and he stands and he says, I don't have any strength. and I don't know what to do. But God, my eyes are upon you. And God hears that prayer. And he's standing with his babies. And he's standing with the people. And he's the king. And they're looking at him. And they're wanting him to have the answer. But he doesn't have the answer. But he knows somebody that does. And he prays this prayer of humility. And then when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Everybody say, and when they began to sing, and when they begin to sing, and when they begin to praise, and when they lifted up their song, the enemy was smitten, and God began to move on their side. Sam, come help me tonight. We're talking about songs. We need some music tonight. Bring me a minstrel. Bring somebody that can move us a little bit with a chord or two that'll work just right. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want you to know, I know the devil's talking to somebody in this house, and I know the answer to that. You need to sing your song. You need to pick up the harp. You need to come before God, and you need to begin to sing your song. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I got a song to sing. I've got a song in my Holy Ghost tonight. The word of God is a song in my mouth. The promise of God is a song in my soul. And I've got a song to sing tonight. That's when the devil puts his foot on you. That's when the world comes against you. That's when your enemy rises up against you. Somebody needs to begin to sing your song right now. The good thing is, you may not know what the words of the song are, because you may not know what to sing. It may be so complex, you don't even know what to pray for. But we've got the answer for that. When you don't know what to pray for, as you ought, the Spirit maketh intercession, and he prays according to the will of God. But Paul takes it a little further than that. He said, what is it then? I will pray in my understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit. And he said, I will sing in my understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit. I don't know about you, but when I begin to sing in the Holy Ghost, when I begin to let the Holy Ghost sing through me, and I'm telling God, God, this thing's too big for me. This thing is beyond my understanding. This thing's beyond my comprehension. But I know you put a song down in there, a new song, even praise unto my God. God, I'm going to just give you the vessel right now, and I'm going to let you begin to sing. Somebody sing your song right now. Somebody sing your song right now. Somebody loose that Holy Ghost that's in you right now. Somebody loose that Holy Ghost song that's in you right now. Yeah. No, I want you to go ahead and sing it right now. Nobody knows like you know what the Lord has done. Nobody knows like you know what you need right now. Nobody knows like you know what the answer is to your problem. Nobody knows how you're feeling right now, but the Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Ghost knows. Holy Ghost knows. Let it out. Let it out. Let that Holy Ghost song out. Hannah does right. Hannah follows through. She's got a song. She's got a song. Don't lose your song. Don't let the devil take your song. If you lose your song, you lose your soul. If he can take your song, he takes your faith. You've already lost when you've lost your song. Yeah. Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 You got a secret weapon that the devil doesn't know anything about. And sometimes people just keep it locked up in a box. You've got a secret weapon that the devil can't control. And he controls your body. He might can oppress your body. He might can touch your mind. But he can't touch what God has put down on the inside of you. If you don't believe that theology, listen. And at midnight, they already been beat up. They already been whipped. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. My God, if I could find some apostolics that could catch what they caught, if I could just find a handful, because it was dark. And it was dank. And you know how it is. They said we hanged our harps on the willows because they brought us down to Babylon. And I'm not where I want to be. And the temple's all torn up. And Jerusalem's all destroyed. And all my friends are gone. And here I am in a strange land. And they that brought us down requires a song. They say, sing us one of the songs of Jerusalem. And they said, we don't have the right situation. So we hung our harps on a willow. We hung up our song. We don't have the right company. So we hanged our harps on the willows. We gave up our song. It's not like we want it to be. My God, if I could find some apostolics who could sing in the nighttime, who could sing at midnight, who could sing in the trouble, who could sing in the valley, who could sing when it don't feel like singing. I want you to know the song still works, no matter how you feel about it. Hey, yes. Oh, I'm talking to somebody tonight. I'm talking to somebody that's been down in a hole. I want you to know you begin to sing down in that hole and just see what God will do. Start singing the praises of God down in that hole. You say, well, what could I sing? You could sing, he made the sun come up this morning. He put the stars up in the heavens. He rained down nurture on the earth. And he brought forth every good thing. He parted the Red Sea. He raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. My God, you could sing till you ran out of life. And you'd never sing enough to give God credit for everything that is done. But you need to begin to sing. You need to lift your voice down in your hole. Begin to praise God. Down in the prison house, begin to praise God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. I want you to know God may be taking you somewhere where there's somebody else that needs to hear the praises of God. God may be moving you through a season you wouldn't have chosen, but he's got you positioned strategically. Somebody's there that's going to hear your song. And the prisoners, and the poor, pitiful prisoners heard their praises and heard their song. And suddenly, something began to shake. And I like to think God just started patting his foot with that song that they began to sing. You don't have to sing good, but you gotta sing. You may not know what to say, but you've gotta sing. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but you've got to begin to sing. And when you begin to sing and your song corresponds with heaven, God begins to pat his foot. God begins to tap in time. God begins to do things that have the power to shake the earth and everything that's in it. The foundations of the prison were shaken. My God, sometimes the thing that has people bound up, sometimes the thing that binds up your heart and your mind or your family or your life, those things are demonic, and those things have deep tentacle roots. Those things are founded deep, deep in time and history and past and generations. And who knows where the root of that thing is. But Bible says that God started shaking the foundation of that thing that had his men bound up. I want you to know tonight, if you'll loose your tongue and you'll begin to sing the song of the kingdom of God, that God, he won't do a superficial job. He won't just walk in and put a band-aid on a problem that's been in motion for hundreds of years. But God can see right down into the essence of that thing. God can see the foundation of it, and God can begin to shake it till it turns loose down at the lower level, and then it vibrates up to where they're sitting right there. And he can set you free. The foundation of the prison began to shake, and immediately, now what kind of earthquake is this? Now the doors were open. Because when you get down to the foundations, when you get down to the thing where it all came from, then the doors begin to open. And not only do you go free, but others will go free with you. It's important that you go free. But my God tells me that when you go free, somebody else is going to get sprung with you. Praise God. Revival touches everybody. Revival can start with you and spring out of you and flow forth out of you, but it's going to touch everybody. You can be the you can be the epicenter of a revival. Young lady, you can be the epicenter. Who can sing that song? Who can pray that prayer? Who can shake that jailhouse? My God, you can. You can. You can. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the name of Jesus. You got the Word of God. If three little humble, miserable lepers walking down a dusty road can sound like the armies of Egypt, God is able to amplify your song. God is able to amplify your prayer. What little shaking you can start, God can say, I'll buy into that. Let's shake them. Let's shake it up. Somebody ought to sing tonight and say, God, let's shake the house. God, let's shake the city. God, let's shake the prisoners. God, let's shake the courthouse. God, let's shake the governor's house. God, let's shake the White House. Does anybody believe the word of God tonight? And all the doors were open. Somebody say, all the doors. The people that you thought couldn't get out, they can get out. Say, all the doors were open. All the doors were open. Not just the people you thought, but the people you thought were beyond reach tonight. All the doors. I want you to picture the most unlikely person you ever thought you would see sitting on an apostolic pew. We actually had a young man tell us that. We were singing in the choir that night, my lovely wife and I. We were singing in the choir, and this young man who was a young preacher, he was on his way to Bible college, and he had gone to the same high school that we went to, and he looked at us, and he just shook his head, and he said, "You are the last people that I ever thought I'd see singing in an apostolic choir." My wife always says, it's not because we were so bad. It's not because we were... It's because I was a jock and a pretty good one. And she was the most beautiful cheerleader in the whole place. And that apostolic boy looked at us and thought, those kids are what everybody wants to be, and those kids have what I really would like to have, and they're never going to want the truth. And a little apostolic girl sat beside me in chemistry for a whole year, and she sat beside me in physics for a whole year, and she never told me about God because she thought I would say no. But when you start shaking the city, all the prison doors were open. I want you to think about somebody right now that doesn't look very likely. I want you to think about somebody on your job. I want you to think about somebody you work with. I want you to think about a backslidden relative. I want you to think about somebody right now, and I want you to begin to shake. I want you to begin to sing a song of praise. Right now, right now, right now. This is a workshop. I want you to begin to sing a song of praise. You don't have to sing it about them. You just sing the song unto God right now. Make it shake. Make it rattle. Sing the song. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Come on, the foundation is starting to rattle. Come on, the foundation is starting to shake. Come on, the doors. The doors are starting to rattle. Come on, the doors are starting to get loose on the hinges. The locks are starting to back out. Run, run, Sister Gail. Run for Megan. Shake that jail cell that she's locked up in. Shake, shake it, sing it, make it move. Sister Cheetah, those boys, they can feel this tonight. I've run into Jeremy twice in the last month. We can shake that jail cell. Can anybody feel the foundation starting to move? And then he says, everybody's bands began to be loosed. Come on, right now. The bands of drug addiction, the bands of alcoholism, the bands of false religion, the bands of apostasy, the bands of pornography, the bands of perversion, the bands of lust and greed and avarice and all of the things that bind people up. Make it shake. Loose your voice. Clap your hands. Shout to God. Oh, there's a little boy in this city that's feeling this right now. There's a man in a bar room. There's somebody sitting in their house with a shot of scotch in their hand right now. He's feeling this. God, shake the stoners. God, shake the druggers. God, shake the ones that are pouring their passion into all the wrong things today. Can you see them? Can you see them? They're beginning to feel the bands are loose. They're beginning to feel the door and shaking off the hinges. Somebody that you've been oppressed, you just know, I've been walking under this cloud, and the cloud is here. I'm oppressed, and I love God, and I'm faithful to God, but I can't feel what I want to feel because it's suffocating me right now. I want you to come down to this altar right now, and we're going to pray a prayer of faith over you, and God's going to loose you. Somebody come on right now. If you're oppressed, if there's nobody here like that, I rejoice in that. But if you've been oppressed, I want you to hear this. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. And Saul was refreshed and well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Brooke, I want you to come stand in for Ashley Tucker right now. She's been through a valley of sickness and a valley of surgery, and just because of that, I know that there's a cloud on her. But I know we can pray for Ashley tonight. And I know God will touch her right where she is. Some of you ladies, come and lay your hands on these that are down here tonight. Praise God. You young ladies, come lay your hand on Wendelin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, you can come with your mask. You can pray with a mask on. And pray without one. We've got a song to sing. Come on now. I want you to sing while you're down here tonight. Come on, Wendelly, sing a song tonight. Come on, Jess, sing a song tonight. Come on, Brooke, sing a song for Ashley tonight. Come on, Natalie, sing your song tonight. Come on, sing about what God has done. Sing about what God has said. Come on, Michael, open your mouth. Sing a song tonight. Sing a song in the kingdom. Come on, Brother Bob, sing a song. Jeffrey, sing the song tonight.
Yeah.
I want you to sing in tongues right now. Nobody can hear you. Just go ahead and begin to sing in tongues. Give it a melody. Give it a voice. If you don't know how, this is a workshop. Loose that right now. Something for me right now. And you won't understand this unless you're old and you've been around the campground. You won't understand this. Maybe you will. But I want you to pray right now. And when you pray, I want you to just start shaking a little bit. I want you to just start shaking a little bit. Listen to me. Nothing happened with those lepers till they started walking. Till they started putting their feet down. Nothing happened in that jail until Paul and Silas started shaking those chains a little bit and began to lift up their voice. I want you right now to be the first wave in that shock that's going to move through this city. I want you to begin to pray. And as you feel the anointing and feel the Holy Ghost on that, I want you to begin to shake a little bit right now. Just do that. Just do that. Now, some of you are going to lose this altogether. Some of you, it's going to take over and you just let it go. Some of you, it's going to rattle your bones. But just let that go tonight. Just start shaking. Just start shaking in the Holy Ghost. Talk about it. Talk in tongues. Let that go. Let that go. Let that go. Shake the foundation. Shake the doors off their hinges. Shake the chains loose off of everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Press in, press in. Come on, you're way too controlled. Let it move in you. Let it take over. Let it move in you. Go ahead. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, tomorrow when you're in your prayer, you need to sing your song. Hallelujah. When you're all by yourself, the devil gonna whisper to you and say, it's just you. And you say, nobody here but Jesus, and that's all right. Jesus is all I need. Say that. Nobody's here but Jesus, but that's all right. Jesus is all I need. Now I'm going to sing the top and the bottom, and you sing the middle, right? Nobody here but Jesus, you said. Jesus is all I need. Come on, come on. Nobody's here but Jesus. Jesus is all I need. Come on. Nobody's talking but Jesus. Jesus is all I need. Somebody say, nobody's talking but Jesus. is all I need. And say, nobody's moving but Jesus. And you say, Jesus is all I need. Come on, does anybody know that he's all you need? You be down in that hole praying. You be down in that prison shaking. You be down in that valley digging for water. Because everywhere we go, Jesus is all we need. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is a way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is life eternal. Jesus. That's all right. That's all right. Yeah. Praise God. Reach over, lay your hand on somebody. Talk in tongues here for a minute. Come on, if you're at home, I hope you're just getting untethered. If you're at home, I hope you're just using that living room rug for a dancing platform. Come on, if you're at home, I hope you're talking in tongues and praying with those babies right now. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, when you were prophesying Wednesday night, and I asked you to pray and prophesy for some Filipinos, do you know we had a Filipino online? Brother Dustin sent me the link, the thread off of that service, and Rose was online. She said, I got baptized there in 1998, and she was listening. I just want you to know, you're shaking some Filipinos in the city. You're reaching out beyond yourself and out beyond your home and out beyond the walls of the church tonight. And if you're in your home and you're... I'm just telling you, somebody in a valley tonight, just set up and drill right there. Just drill. There's living water right there in that valley. Somebody that's in a prison, a place of oppression, just start shaking tonight. Just start singing the praises of God. Because God can sink it down to the very foundation of that thing and turn you loose. God bless you. Let's clap our hands one more time and lift up the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I apologize to you tonight. We only got to verse 1 in our text. We'll try to get to the rest of it Wednesday night, Lord willing. But I love what I'm feeling in the house. Now, I want you to pray with me about something. I don't know how our revival is going to be configured. And I don't know exactly what we'll do. But what I'm thinking right now and what I'm feeling right now is a tent right out here on the outside of this straightaway out here. And it's about 50 feet wide or 40 feet wide, and we could hang a 40 by 80 tent out there and then just set chairs all out everywhere and turn the speaker system toward the interstate and fire that thing up, lace that tent with lights, fire that thing up and have revival. Now, if you've never been to a tent revival, you need to do that before you go to glory. But that's what I'm thinking right now. I don't know when Brother Phillips is coming, but we can have pretty good revival. Do you know what we talk about? Do you remember the year that Brother Cody Marks came? We had a 100-soul revival with Brother Cody Marks, starting in late June or early July. But we had already had 100 people pray through before he ever walked in the door. You know what I'm talking about? This is a season like that. Get ready. Talk to everybody you meet. Pass out cards. Get flyers. Sister Chrissy's creating some flyers. She's feeling the need. It's like an impulse in the Holy Ghost. And I want her to go ahead and do that and just reach right now. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. That's all we need. The fields are already ready. The fields are white unto harvest. But the laborers are few. My God. Catch somebody for the kingdom of God. We're going to have revival. It's going to be a season you're going to love. And I'm still praying against... I don't know if I'll get my prayer answered or not, but I'm still praying against SEC football. Do you realize the emptiness and loneliness and despair that people would be feeling if Alabama can't play ball this year? There'll be people weeping in the streets. It'll be like the Great Awakening. And there were people in the quad at the University of Alabama praying and crying. And you might ask, well, why are they praying? Because they can't have football this year. They might be praying to Bear Bryant. I don't know who they're praying to. But we're going to have revival. And I don't know if it's going to be a tent revival or what it's going to be. But we're going to have revival. And we're going to have revival in this season. And we're going to have a 100-fold increase in a time of famine. And God's going to do what he said he would do. And God did it before, and God will do it again. Praise God. And we're not going to say, well, it would be nice, but we can't get it. We can't have it because of the season that we're in. But he's a God for every season. And he's a God for this season. And he's a God of revival for this season. And there's a harvest to be had right now. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave tonight.